The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Vox Markets Podcast.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. Joel.
Good morning, Jess. Yes, a weekend where I was on my tub because my wife went to Italy. And so it's been great. You know, it's been me and the dog and had a couple of cheeky takeaways, a couple of beers, you know, just doing what you want to do. And, of course, we were just talking about the Harry Kane's move to Bayern Munich.
Oh, yeah, I think my son Monty just went over that. He got really upset by it. He didn't want to believe he's going until he was getting onto the plane, I think. And
In
the end, he's going, why is he going?
Harry's going.
I say, you know, he's probably have to go next year anyway. And at least, you know, you could get some money for Spurs to buy some players or something, you know, or do something with it. So,
Well, that's the thing, and I like the new manager, I must say, and I think, you know, signing James Maddison and Van de Ven, the defender, he looks pretty good. I mean, yeah, couple of quivers defensively at the back, but I thought they looked pretty good against Brentford. And if we can stop leaking goals, I think we'll be a real force to be reckoned with going forward. But anyway, you know, we may have to get another striker because Richarlison is still not looking too clever, but, you know, remains to be seen.
Cool, marvellous. Alright, let's talk about some stocks, Al. What are you looking at first and foremost?
Okay, first and foremost, so we've spoken about various companies that invest into other companies, companies that invest into companies such as the Sussex Innovation Centre, all this different technology and IP and how it's handled. And there's another very, very strong company listed on AIM called Frontier IP Group that's been trading for some years and has invested in a wide portfolio of companies. And probably we were talking about Tech Capital the other week, who's that they've seen a fall in their share price, and certainly Frontier IP Group have probably seen a slightly better year in terms of share price performance than Tech Capital. Their shares hit a low back in mid-July, but they're starting a recovery now. And I think if you look at the portfolio of companies the group holds, there's good reason to take a closer look at this company. So one of their primary investments and really a source of income for them over the past year has been a company called Accenture, which is an AI and experimental platform for drug discovery that listed on NASDAQ last year and has been creating regular revenues for Frontier IP Group through share sales. So in its half-year results to December 31st, the company reported a loss of $500,000. That was against a profit previously, but cash of $5.8 million, up from $4.5 million previously. Net asset value per share about the same, 88p per share versus 88.5p previously, and a fair asset value of 36 million compared to 39 million previously. So the group have made good solid progress over the year. Cash proceeds of 3.5 million generated from share sales, but of course that's just from Exscientia. The company is also invested into companies like Nandi Proteins, which is developing patented technology to reduce or replace sugars, fats, and additives in processed foods. Has a stake in a company called Elucid, which produces new material made from recycled glass and ceramics, and sourced from industrial waste, which creates a range of sustainable recycled tiles and working environments. And on May the 9th, Topps Tiles announced it was stocking this new range of Elucid tiles across its showroom, and it was actually promoting out. Frontier IP holds 37.5% of their company. June, further share sales from Exscientia brought some more cash into the company. Later on in June, the company provided a new loan facility to a newly listed company called, or a newly formed company called Cam Graphic, which the team are excited about. Other investments include Pulsive Solar, which commercializes breakthrough research into photovoltaic solar panels and improving efficiencies. The Vaccine Group, developing novel technology to combat viruses that jump between animals and humans. Obviously, COVID is the most recent example of that, and a raft of other stuff. So we're seeing solid progress from the company over the year. Certainly where the company is now, the net asset value per share currently stands at 88.2p. That's down slightly from 88.5p previously, but that of course stands at odds with the share price, which is currently trading at 47.5p. So roughly basically trading at half net asset value with a market cap of just on 26 million at the moment. So we're seeing a bit of a recovery since June, so this could be the start of a recovery and further gains from the asset portfolio as we go forward into the autumn.
Yeah, just looking at the chart then, it's still a bit, you know, downtrend, isn't it? So it needs to get above that. I think previous high there, or recent high of 49 pence. Gets above that, maybe we're going to start seeing an uptrend. But we have a higher low here from 39.
Well, we've seen three higher lows since July. So we've got 40p on Thursday. The 40p on 7th of July. Then we had 41.5p 18th of July, and then we had 9th of August 45p. So we're seeing I think a good floor of support starting to develop here.
Companies investing. The portfolio now, there's loads.
I know that's the thing. There's a big spread of companies, and I think the spread of risk with Frontier IP Group is very strong because of that. So at any one stage, there are investee companies are developing, throwing off cash, generating dividends, and all the rest of it. So I think the strategy the company has of this broad spread of investments has actually paid off pretty well for the group, and certainly. Neil Crabb said at the chief executive, he said it was a significant commercial and technical progress throughout the year. They've also added two more directors, Nigel Grierson and David Holbrook. You can see their sort of CVs on the website, but they are seeing sort of steady progress from the portfolio. And we're in an environment where with since the Ukraine invasion, there's been a bit of a risk-off attitude towards tech stocks, which I think has contributed to the fall. But I'd argue that with Frontier IP Group's spread of assets and spread of investments, it's probably better insulated than a lot of other companies adopting a similar strategy because of the sheer size of the portfolio.
Just the sheer size, yeah.
Sheer size.
Yeah. Right, what's next, Al?
Okay. Oil and gas, Parkmead Group, PMG is the epicode here, and Parkmead hasn't had too bad a year considering, compared to peer group companies, and the shares have since July, very much been bumpy along the bottom, bit of a blip in August there at the start of the month. So this is a UK Netherlands.
You say they haven't had a bad time, you know, for the year. They start the year at 54 pence. They're now at 16 pence.
Yes, that's a fairly precipitous fall. But I think behind that, certainly when we came to June, and I think the fall has been largely due to the fact that the group has written down 33 million on the Perth Oil project, which it's decided not to pursue. So it's going to incur a non-cash one-off impairment of 33 million as a result of not renewing those assets in Perth, and that's for a range of geopolitical reasons that I won't go into detail. But the Parmeet has a group of assets in the UK and Netherlands. It has interests in four projects across the Netherlands, and I mentioned the Greater Perth Area Oil Hub, and also it's invested into clean energy on the Kempston Wind Hill Farm, which is 4 miles south of Aberdeen. In fact, I rode past that on my recent trip to Scotland. So there we go. It's been a year of progress for the company in many ways. The company announced a new gas discovery in the Netherlands at the Drenthe concession. It's a two-well concession there. Certainly at the time, the company says its existing assets in the Netherlands were pretty prolific. And also the company enjoyed, because of the financial cost controls, enjoyed low operating costs of less than $9 per barrel equivalent, you know, which is pretty low. That's pretty competitive, I think, compared to anywhere in the world. It's just at this point, the company is driven by the executive chairman, Tom Cross, who is ex-CEO of Dana Petroleum, formerly worked for Conoco, Thompson North Sea, and also has worked as energy advisor for the BBC as well. So very well-known gentleman in the energy and oil and gas circles. So we come to the end of March. The company announced interims. Revenue more than doubled to 11.1 million, up from 4.6 million previously. Net cash up 400% to 8.6 million. That's up from 1.7 previously. And that's equivalent to 8p per share. So, if you look at it from that standpoint, the cash the company has at the bank currently represents getting off a half of the actual value of the company. So there's a very small premium for the group's assets in that regard. So gross profits of 9.8 million up from 3.8 million and a very strong margin of 89%. We then had the strategy update that I mentioned in June, and I think it was the underperformance of the Perth assets and the uncertainty surrounding that have, as much as anything else, proved to be a drag on the share price. As I said, the Perth Oil development won't be pursued. They've incurred a non-cash one-off impairment of 33 million. But the company, as a result of this action, has a pool of UK tax losses of circa 150 million to offset against their future profits, and that's a pretty significant number by any standards. The company's primary asset at Skerryvore, which is the UK central North Sea, the company announced the drilling has commenced. Parmeet owned 50% of this asset, 50% stake, and also the operator there as well, and targeting an estimated 157 million barrels of oil equivalent. And now, of course, with the abandonment of the Perth Oil assets, the company is undergoing a series of potential acquisition evaluations, and we're going to hear more about those as we go forward. Also worth noting, the company has a major shareholder called Stonehage Investments, and it's been steadily increasing its stake up from 10% to just over 11%. So clearly, there are
Stonehage Investments.
Stonehage, not age. Stonehage Investments.
I was going to say, who's in charge of that? A bunch of cavemen?
Okay. Yeah. Fred and Wilma. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yabba dabba doo. So, It's had a pretty poor year from a share in regard to the performance of the share price, but I think that can be attributed to the uncertainty surrounding Berthold. That's now gone. It's a write down on the books. We know how much that's going to cost, and now we've got Skerryvore and all the potential that could deliver. We've got the asset in Netherlands, the gas discovery at the Drenthe concession, and the other assets there too. So I think there's an awful lot to look forward to, and with a market cap of 18.3 million, half of which is represented by the cash the company has in the bank, that to me looks a pretty good investment proposition.
Cash.
Yeah. Cash is king.
Bit sexist that now, isn't it? Cash is, really, this day and age, you can't say that. King, probably queen, pretty sexist in some way.
Yeah, cash is
actually non-gender, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, cash is the non-gender.
It's the original non-gender,
Cash is boss, then. How's that?
Mm. Yeah, okay.
Cash is boss. There you go. There you go.
Elitism, then, saying you're boss. You can't do that. Okay. Anything else, Al?
Yes, want to talk pets, just, we are both pet owners, and I have talked about this company before, but this is a company that just continues to deliver. It also pays a small dividend of 0.3%, but I think it's the capital growth that the company has delivered, and it's had a pretty strong year. CVS Group, CVSG is the Epic code. Mm-hmm. This company with a pretty chunky market cap, 1.47 billion, and the shares have traded between £22.20 per share and £15 per share, currently just over £20 per share, so in the mid-range. Shares have jumped up recently on the back of a very strong very strong trading update from the group. And of course, what CVS Group do, they are acquiring veterinary surgeries and practices around the country, and then using their economies of scale in terms of dealing directly with the drug manufacturers to buy the drugs in, to buy all of the resources required to operate the vets, that they're able to access those at far lower prices. Mm-hmm. Now, just a caveat here, the local vet we used was taken over by CVS Group, and I had to say that the service dropped dramatically, so we did move. So I'm not sure their strategy is working everywhere, but certainly financially they are delivering. So whilst operationally they may have some issues they still need to address, certainly from a cash generational standpoint, this company continues to grow.
So why did it drop then? What happened?
Why did it drop?
The service, you said your local was taken over by CVS and the service wasn't as good. Why was that? What happened?
Well, we had a particular issue with one of our dogs who we were away on holiday, and the vet contacted us, and or rather the kennels contacted us to say that our dog had a slip disc, and he couldn't move very well, and the vet had incorrectly diagnosed it, and the vet stuck by her diagnosis, so we told the kennels to take him into another vet. And within seconds, they identified the slip disc. Thankfully, we were insured, but he went into one of these vet hospital places, and they literally shaved his neck, went in through the front, and took the disc out. So, and at the point he was at, if he'd say jumped up on, jumped up or jumped or anything, the disc was already halfway through his spinal cord. So that could have been that. So.
How did they miss? I thought they both identified it as a slip disc. What did the first one do wrong?
No. They didn't. They just said it was a back problem. They didn't say it was a slip disc. The vet that the kennels took him to identified that immediately. So of course, they took him straight in. Took him to the vet hospital up in Surrey, and he was there for a couple of days and fully sorted. So yeah. But it was just, it was a key diagnosis, and I just thought that the way the surgery handled it after that wasn't good. So we moved, and the new surgery, which ironically isn't owned by CVS Group, is very good. But
you shouldn't be talking about them then in a positive light. If you've had a bad experience with them, it's like one up on Wall Street, with Peter Lynch. So it's a person's experiences is everything.
But well, personal experience is everything. But I think at the end of it, you know, I've no doubt. Well, the thing is, we've spoken to a number of people who own pets. You see them on the dog walks around here locally, and they've also moved away from surgery too. But
yeah, even confirms what you're saying. So
yeah, well,
I thought you were going to say then, but they've had a good experience. But no, they haven't. So they've
No. But the thing is, this is this was a particular vet, a single vet within the practice, and I think because
maybe they should put that vet down.
Yeah, possibly. Well, we had a row with the surgery, and as a result we moved on, and we're now quite happy. But my point is, you look at what CVS Group has done in terms of growing revenue. I'm putting that down as a one-off experience. Maybe there have been experiences, but often when a surgery gets taken over, it's got a particular way of working. Then that sometimes happens. The practice changes, the operating practice changes, and people don't get on with it. But in terms of can we make this strategy a success? It's a resounding yes, and that's the point I'm arguing here. So
yeah, but if it's an expense, I mean, maybe it's one off, like you say, but if it's an expense of good practice, then it's not going to be sustainable, is it? Surely, if the value of service goes down, I'm sure in certain areas it may go up. Because there's some bad vets there, and so
there are good vets everywhere, and I think this was somebody that owned a practice for ages. CVS Group came in. Oh yeah, thanks. I'll have them pay my payday, and he then promptly retired. So it worked out well for the practice owner. But I think you can look at these in context and say, yeah, well that happened there in Seaford, but they've made a multitude of acquisitions and acquired practices, and it's worked very well. I mean, like-for-like sales up 7.3%, EBITDA margins comfortably within expectations for the year. They also invested a further 55 million in 11 practice acquisitions over that period, and they have a thing called Healthy Pet Club where people can join and have set fees for treatment and for drugs and so on. 489,000 up from 470,000 last year. So they're growing this rapidly. But I think historically, when I've spoken about these, the strategy has always been UK centric, but they've now made a change. They've invested in four practices in Australia, and they have a further pipeline of opportunities to invest into there too. And the company said in its trading statement, Richard Fairman, the chief exec, said they're aiming to double the adjusted EBITDA numbers over the next 5 years. This is through organic growth and acquisitions in the UK and overseas. So they've got the model working well in the UK. They're looking overseas to expand, and obviously they see Australia as the land of opportunity. So I think when you look at that strategy, and if they can get that working successfully in Australia, then the world's very much their oyster. I think we could see this company evolve from a £1.5 billion company into a £3 to 4 billion company if it's going to do the same in Australia and Europe and elsewhere. But of course, that remains to be seen. But a successful strategy, my experience notwithstanding, and as I say, there's a small dividend, 0.3% dividend paid as well. So we're in the run-up, of course, two numbers. So I think those, we're going to have some more updates, no doubt, in the coming months. But the company looks in good shape, and I think at this juncture, probably midway between the year highs and lows, is probably as good an entry point as any.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah. The chart there just come off a high, but it seems to have starting to rally now a little bit. Higher lows. Okay. How's the doggy anyway now?
Oh, he's absolutely fine. I mean, that was several years ago, I hasten to add. So he's absolutely fine. And although, sadly, his sister died earlier in the year, we had to have a put down, he's still going strong. So he's 14 and a half. And he's great because, he comes everywhere, over the weekend when my wife was away in Italy, he sort of came everywhere with me. And two lads together.
Yeah. Do you put him in kennels, do you, when you go away?
No. I mean, we went. We were away back in June for a week, and we left him with. We found there's a website called Rover. So if you go to Rover, if you want to find dog sitters or people to look after dogs in your area, it's a good website. So we found this lady just around the corner. She's a semi-retired school teacher, and she works from home. We took Jimmy around to her, thinking it would be fine, but it wasn't too long after. His sister had died, so he was still pining a bit. And apparently, it wasn't successful. Apparently, he kept her up a lot of the night, howling and so on. So, we've not taken him back there. So, but we've got various family members that will take him on for a few days. So we're off again next month for a week or so. So yeah.
I couldn't find her kennel, so she's too spoilt. She's there. Literally, when we leave the house, she's at the window all the time, you know?
Well, this is the thing, you know.
Market, and we come back, it's like we've been gone for a year.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, you know, so actually going abroad, it becomes more and more difficult because, of course, you've got to find someone to come in. And really, I mean, we've got, you know, my daughter can come here and sort of live in the house for a few days or a week, and she'll bring her dog and the baby with her. So that would work. It's quite difficult logistically to organise. I think when Jimmy goes, we'll probably be dogless for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Marvellous stuff. Cheers, Val. I'll speak you next week.
Cheers, Just. Speak you next week.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Save big money on your outdoor project at Menards. We make landscaping simple with our free, easy-to-use design program and step-by-step project guides. Plus, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block at the best prices. Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com to see our full selection of landscape blocks and get your outdoor project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.